Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey-o, hey-o, hey-o. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey-o. Hey-o, hey-o, hey-o. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. We are here to love ourselves, to love one another, to love our surroundings, to love, to love, to love. Nahasan anila nijone go shabotya, nijone go shabotya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radios, honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kiddishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing native peoples throughout the world with native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, can I talk with him to all of our relations?
Sko, Wisquasgan. Nea anawan. Tabatana hui muk. Ni wishi. Nea one. Tabatana wayan. Kentatuit. Nea one. A tabatana wayan. A tun. A monik. Ni wishi. A ho.
Oh, God. tribes of Chief Luther Stanley Bear of the Oglala Lakota. We did not think of the great open plains, the beautiful rolling hills, and the winding streams with tangled growth as wild. Only to the white man was nature a wilderness, and only to him was the land infested with wild animals and savage people. To us it was tame. Earth was bountiful, and we were surrounded with the blessings of the great mystery. Not until the hairy man from the east came, and with brutal frenzy heaped injustices upon us and the families we loved, was it wild for us. When the very animals of the forest began fleeing from his approach, then it was that for us the Wild West began.
Of Lakota Chief Luther Standing Bear, we started off today's program with the words from Narragansett Elder Stronghorse, with music from the Quonitucket Drum, Full Circle Drum. That Quonitucket intertribal drum from the Long Tidal River Territory of southern New England was one of the first drums that I had the honor to learn from and be a member of. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we share the commentary of two Native warriors, Ankwetase and myself, Oness. The words you will hear in today's radio program were from a regional public television broadcast in the mid-1980s. At that time, I had the privilege to be living in the Penacook Indian Territory within the Merrimack River Valley, what the Penacook Indians termed the Neshoba Territory. It is now known as the Massachusetts-New Hampshire border area. The Native American community there are caretakers of the Pawtucket Forest Indian land. This land was one of the very first Indian reservations created in what's now called the United States of America. This land is now under the jurisdiction of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Division of Forests and Parks. It is a state forest and historical site. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, at that time in my life, I was a forest and parks manager undertaking cultural resources assessments in order to protect a number of Native American sites in Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire, such as the Pawtucket Forest Indian land. It was my honor to get to know the area's Native American community and work with their cultural organization, GLICA, Greater Lowell Indian Cultural Association. GLICA and my forest ranger staff and I together established many interpretive hiking trails. We conducted numerous environmental and cultural education programs together. One of my most favorite activities was conducting daily educational boat trips on the Merrimack River, teaching park visitors about the Native American cultural history of this Neshoba River Valley region. One of the traditional elders who became like an uncle to me was a very fine man by the name of Ankwetase. He and I were invited one evening to appear on a regional public television show to share Native American perspectives. The program we will now hear is the audio recording of that TV show. Please listen carefully, since the audio quality is a little poor due to the age of the tape. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon One Takwasin, to all of our relations.
Jason Nikayahoka, you are Jay Katabani, Kinon One Takwasin. Akiya wa hasani mishku natakin in a nuak, wa sanana teka wa shanoni wa shane. That's a greetings in a language here of the eastern native peoples of what we call Turtle Island, the sacred Mother Earth, the eastern territory where the sun rises. And that prayer as a greeting was an acknowledgement that we are a people of the sacred land of Turtle Island, North America, that we express our feelings, our appreciation, not only for our own communities, but for all of our relatives, Kinawantakusin, to all the relations, the tree people, the water people, the two-winged people, and the four-legged people. These are very much what is, in our language, called the Mishkwinataki, the Red Earth people. For as Native American people, we are more than just a community of human beings. We are a community of our sacred Mother, the Earth. And when we speak of Native peoples and Native rights, traditional ways of life, we are representing not only the rights of our people to speak our languages, not only the rights of our people to continue with our ceremonies and our songs and our prayers, the way the Creator handed these things down to us for thousands and thousands of winters from generation to a generation. We're also very much concerned for the rights and well-beings of our other relatives, our Mother the Earth, the tree people, the waters, the mountains, the four-legged animals, the two-winged birds, the fish people, that those two are very much a family. And as Native people now in the present modern time, we are concerned that no more Indian land is going to be desecrated. We do not want any more mining of our sacred lands. We do not want any more timber of our forest relatives to be cut down. We do not want any more desecration of our sacred burial sites. But we are a people of peace, and we are a people of generosity and sincerity. We're also a people who will no longer tolerate the disrespect, not only to our own communities and our own sacred ways of life, but most importantly, the destruction and desecration of our land and our relatives. And one of the things that is always important for people to listen to whenever Native people come together is that we come together in a good way to share our friendship, our heart, as a way of hoping everyone listening to this will also feel good that we are saying that what has happened between the Native people of Turtle Island and the American and Canadian people of nearly 500 years is still something that in the history is not always correctly understood or correctly told. And it's very important that people who are beginning to respect and listen to the Native people of this land understand that we have more than 374 treaties in the nearly 500 years between the governments they now call Washington and Ottawa and the sovereign Native nations that make up a very sacred land called Turtle Island in North America. And it's been the white man of North America that has violated every one of these more than 374 treaties. And it's been our people, the Red Earth people, the Native people of this land, who have always kept our peace and have always kept our treaties and our words in sincerity. And we hope that people listening to this time will understand that Native people are still very much alive here and well here in the East. And at this time, I'd like to ask my elder, my uncle, my brother, Uncle Tossie, to share his heart.
I understand that what my brother says here, I feel the same way. We are simple people, and it's very hard sometimes for us to understand the way of life today, even after all these years. This is why, to us, our festival is what keeps us alive. When we go to our festival, we, with our own people, with the same feeling. And sometimes it feels as if we are living in two worlds. In our festival, we are living in a world that we wish we could continue. And when we leave our festival, we return to a world that we do not wish sometimes to live with, because it is so much against our ways. I know to some degree we are also corrupted today into the society, and much of the things in the society we are living with, we are also materialistic, some of us more than others. Unfortunately, sometimes we cannot do without it because we have been living with it for so long. But I know for a fact that if we would do without much of the things we have today, we could lead a better life, because I have lived it when I was young. When I was young, we had very little, but we were so happy with the little we had. And today we have so much, and yet we still are not happy. Sometimes I tell my son and my daughter that was I was born in a tiny paper shack, really small room, and we never had much. But I loved my childhood, not because I was younger, but because there wasn't so much around me that would bother your mind. That you never seem to end paying for this or paying for that, or you have all kind of laws today that controls you completely. In the old day, you could leave your house unlocked, doors open. You could walk the street at night, daytime, anytime. No one would ever bother you. Today, all these things are upon you. They always worry you about your daughter, about your son, and about other people possibly doing harm. It is not the same. The feeling is not human. Sometimes I feel that no one cares for anyone anymore. When I was a young boy, I remember if someone would hear someone working on their home or garden, all the neighbors would come and help you. In the winter, when there was a lot of snow, everyone would get together to snow to plow the road, which was by shovel. We would shovel the road to go to work. And everyone, sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, all the neighbors would be shoveling snow to help out. Today, your neighbor could have a plow, and he will not plow your driveway unless he charges money for it. You know, the difference is different. The life is different. I would hope we would return to being independent upon each other. I should say dependent upon each other. When you become independent, you don't care what happens in your neighbors, whether it's sick or not. You don't even know, you don't care. But if you depend on someone, the same token the other way. They depend on you. And then the relationship between humans become closer. You love each other more. You feel for each other more. But today we have come into a world of independency. And it's unfortunate, and I think this is one of our big problems today in the whole world, not just this country today, but in much of the world.
Yeah.
We are people of the forest. And when you have an opportunity to go out and walk in the forest, to be among our relatives, to be among the tree people, to be among the wind and the earth, you look around at the beautiful trees. One of the very special and sacred things that our Indian people are brought up with is having great respect for the sacredness of every single thing around us. That's why in my language we say Kinawantakwasin to all of our relatives. When we look at a different tree, we look at the oak, we look at the maple, we look at the hemlock, we look at the spruce or the birch. Every tree grows very different. And every tree even has a different type of character and personality. And we as Indian people, we use the different trees for different medicines. If I have a stomach ache, I'll take the bark of the white oak tea and it will take away my stomach ache. If I have a headache, I'll take the bark of the red willow and that will take away the headache. And that shows as an example the very sacredness and the very beauty and the very distinctiveness of each tree. And this is something that Indian people are brought up with, to have respect for differences. And so this example is something that I wish to share to our listeners, especially the children people, the young people, the students, of having respect for differences. Because as Indian people, we're like a different tree. That's not to say that any tree is better than anyone. All trees, all things are equal, but they have different purposes, and they grow differently, and they look different. And that's how it is with our people. And for too long, it has been the American and Canadian people. In my language, we say the Wampiskatong, the people from across the waters, the European people, or what is now called American and Canadian people. They have not had enough respect for the fact that we are different people. They have not had enough respect the fact that we have our own language. We have our own customs. We have our own ceremonies, our own traditions, our own beliefs. That's not to say that our beliefs, traditions, customs are any better than anyone else's. But that does not also mean that anyone else's is any better than ours. And the things that we are saying today is for people to have more respect to the native people, the native community. And the fact that like trees, we are different people. And we hope that by listening to these words today, people will begin to regrow that sense of respect for differences so that we may all learn from each other. You know, my ancestors, my Nichitanganooks, they did not separate things like the modern present-day people do, where you have your religion over here, you have your job over here, you have your pleasure over here. To us, life is a continual cycle, it's a very sacred circle of life. And every day when we wake up, we offer some cedar and tobacco prayers to Katantue, to the Creator, for a very beautiful new day. And at the end of the day, we also offer some cedar and tobacco as prayers, thanking the Creator for the very day that has come, asking us to learn from that day. And in this very special cycle way of life, we learn not to separate things. And one of the things that I wish to share in a good way today is that this idea, or this need of having respect, that we didn't separate people according to racism, according to sexism, or all these things that are divisions that human beings put upon each other. Because it was from the natural world, the animal people, the four-legged people, the two-winged people, they all learned to live with each other for thousands of winters. And it was only when the human beings started to get very selfish and greedy and crazy that they stopped talking to us and stopped relating to us. And even as my uncle here say, some of our own Indian people, native people, have gotten away from the Red Road. And it's very important now for Indian people in particular to kind of be proud of being Indian, of returning to the Red Road, of following the sacred traditions of our people. That's not to say that you can't live in the present time. We must. We all work. We all drive cars. We all go down to, you know, every place now. We're surrounded. In many ways, we have no choice. Most of us were born in the present time, and we're very much assimilated in terms of physical survival. But our culture, our belief systems, these are still very sacred, responsible things that our people have. That for our future generations, we must take care of our earth, our mother. And the last thing that I will say is that as Indian people, we are always instructed to be concerned that whatever we do, whatever our actions are, whatever our words are, how that affects our future generations. Seven generations is a specific law of our people. And this is a lesson that I think the European people need to hear from us. So I wish to thank you for having the opportunity for my elder, in my language we say uncle or older brother, friend, to be here today.
As I said before, today we are living in two worlds. So naturally we have two names. The name today I have is a family name, which is Edward Guillemette. In the old day, we had no family name. We just had our personal name. And my personal name is Ponquatase, which means man reborn. My village, the village we came from, was from Cardinalwaga, Canada. My nation was Haudenosaunee, or people of the Longhouse. Or today we are called Iroquois in Canada, and in this country here we are called the Six Nations. Years ago, when the English come to this country, they call us Magua or sometimes Mingo. Everyone calls us all kind of different names. They still are today. But our real name is Kayangaaga. Kayangaaga is our real name, which means people in the Flint, or Flint people. Haudenosaunee, as I told before, means the Longhouse people. And of course, our famous tree to us is the Great White Pine. We call the Great White Pine the Tree of Peace. We used to bury our tomahawk under the Tree of Peace, which is the White Pine. The White Pine has many roots, reaches all around the world, reaching out to different nations for peace. And this is why, to us, the White Pine was always the Tree of Peace. Today, even our confederacy, which are six nations, which are the Mohawk, the Seneca, the Cayuga, the Oneida, the Onondaga, and Tuscarora, today we still consider ourselves a confederacy of the Iroquois Nation. We still consider ourselves sovereign people. And still are on our own land in Canada and out in New York, where we were originated from all along.
Cool.
So this is what's important to us. We are one of the few people in the East, besides the Wabanaki, the Penobscot, and the Sassafari, and Mi'kmaq and Nevis, that remains in our area that was meant for us by the Creator. So it is very important for us to hold on to this land. Some years ago, you people do not know, I fought for some land here in the forest, and over here in the great little Drake Stingsville State Forest. And the reason why I was fighting for that land was because this was part of the old Indian reservation, which I still believe was the first Indian reservation created here in North America by Reverend Elliot, which way back in 1650s, you could see the destruction of Indian people way back at that time. And this came about somewhere around 1653, and it was called the Pawtucket Fall Reservation. So, back in 1978, I did accomplish what I was seeking for, to have some land in order for us to come together and practice our ways, and also learn from other people that might come along and teach us the things we did not know. So these things are very important to us, to keep us going, to keep us alive. We are the only people in this country that still has a number like a dog tag to identify us as Native people. There are many people that come into this country from all over the world, and they just come right in and they move in, and it's the end of it. But us, we still have our numbers that was given to us when we were fighting with the United States government. And even today, our young ones that are being born are still giving numbers continuation from somewhat similar to prisoners when they are captured. Their names do not matter, the numbers is what counted. So these things are the things that disturb many of us. also to identify ourselves. And our brother, our mother and father do not identify us. The government identifies us. And now, by the Commission of Indian Affairs here in Massachusetts, if you are 1/8 blood, you are considered Native American. And if you're Indian Affairs, you must have 1/4 blood to be Native American. And in many cases in Canada, your identity was taken away from you due to some infraction by religion faction, and today people cannot identify themselves as Native American, which is very unfortunate and also against, I believe, human rights. So these are the things that disturb many Indian people, the one that wants to keep their way alive, the one that wants to keep their nations alive, and the ones that are proud enough to stand up to the government and fight in various ways to hold on to what they already have. They don't want to lose any more. Now, I think it was 2 years ago, the Commission of Indian Affairs, Massachusetts, passed out a copy of the old treaties with the Indian people that they could hunt and trap and fish without a license. But if you look at the treaty very well today and read between the lines, you will find that you cannot do so today unless you are starving to death. Because it states right on the treaty that it must be for your own self-consumption. In other words, if you are working, as long as you are living in a community where there are food, you cannot do this. So, and of course I can see this all right in a way, because there are not that much games out there to be shot at, and I think that the game we have left should be left alone. But these are all the little things that irritate you, that they think they're doing a big thing for you by coming out with these treaties, and they don't mean anything. So I will hope now that my brother here will talk it through some more, especially his identity, because he did not tell you that the last time, and it is very important to all of us.
Oh, Tabak Nick, thank you. My name is Onis, which in English, which is a very different and difficult language for expression of Native thought, could roughly be translated as Beaver Wolf. And I am with an organization called Wolf Mountain Press Indian Radio, and I am of the Wabanaki people, the people that is now called Main Indian. And it's very important that I say that in a little bit of an arrogant tone, because I come from a people who are warrior people. And in our language, Kwana, the warrior, is someone who is very much concerned for the protection of our sacred lands, for the protection of our Mother Earth, for the well-being of our animal people, the well-being of our women and our children and our grandparents and our elders. It was not necessarily someone who would take a rifle or a bow or arrow and try to hurt someone. That's not what that means. It means someone who is strong in our traditional way, just like an oak or a chestnut tree is a strong tree. And I think it's important that what my elder friend, Uncle Tossi, is saying, some of the things about treaties is very important. That we, as they say, have more than 374 treaties, and then nearly 500 winters between Washington and Ottawa with our nations. And many of these treaties were primarily discussed to try to protect the desecration of certain lands, because almost every Native nation has a geographic place that is sacred. To the Wabanaki people, one of our holy places is called Katahdin. To other places, like the Lakota people, Khesap or the Black Hills, why there's an 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty. To the traditional people, they now call the Navajo, the Diné, and some of the Hopi people, the place there called the Tsilnadze, or Seven Sacred Mountains, commonly called Big Mountain, is a sacred place. And many of our treaties that were negotiated in good faith but have been violated by the American and Canadian people continuously for almost 500 years now. I think it was one of our chiefs, perhaps Red Cloud or Chief Duwamish, Chief Seattle, who said that the whites made many treaties and many promises, and the only promise and treaty they ever made and kept was that they made a promise to take our land, which they have continued to do so. And so a lot of these things that we are saying this evening, hopefully in a friendly way, but also in a very strong way, because we are two warriors here who are trying to defend our traditional sacred rights as Native people in our sacred lands, is that it's very important that people do not think that all these things that happened to Indian people, to Native people, happened 100 years ago, or 200, 300, 400 years ago. These things are very much happening now. In fact, some of us feel that the Indian War is actually at its worst point in time in human history now. Because if you look at the so-called energy and natural resources of the United States and Canada, and for many industrialized nations all over the world, these issues that my elder brother and I are sharing with you this evening are not just issues that relate to North America, but there's Native people in Central and South America, there's Native Pacific, there's Native people in what is now called Africa. These are local indigenous Native peoples who have traditions and ceremonies and songs and homelands and feelings of being concerned about their land and the animal people they live with. We are facing a very serious war right now, and that is a war of desecration of our lands. Because, for example, here in North America, the U.S. and Canadian government consider the Native lands to be their resources for coal, for uranium, for water, for timber, for even just using the river for quarrying and building hydro dam projects. All these physical things are not only violations of treaties, not only violations of international law, but is actually causing social and ecological damage to our Mother Earth and to Native people. And what is happening to Native people all over the land now is something that's very serious and needs to be focused upon, not just some quaint quotation in a history book that in many cases is wrong to begin with because no one asked a Native person. And at least this evening, we're lucky enough to have the opportunity to speak in our own behalf, because for too many time there are other people trying to say things that are not true and do not have an understanding not only of what is being said, but how and why it is being said. Because our words are very powerful, they have very good meaning, very good sincerity. And you have to realize that Native people all over the world are living under some of the most extreme conditions of poverty, some of the most extreme conditions of malnutrition, some of the most extreme conditions of all the so-called social indicators that measure what in English is called human rights or the quality of life. A lot of these things are the result of colonialism that's been imposed upon Native people throughout the world. Because our people lived the traditional way, lived many long winters, were very strong people, were very healthy people. We have tremendous ways of fishing. We have tremendous ways of hunting, of gathering plants. And we were very trusting and sharing people. And Native people all over what is now called New England were able to communicate and share with each other. You know, you heard the names of some of our territories, and it's very important that Native places are respected as being sovereign places, because there are specific treaties between specific nations, like the Haudenosaunee Six Nations that Uncle Tossie spoke about, like the Wabanaki people, the Penacook people. But, you know, many of these names are also just colonial boundaries that have been imposed upon us by Washington and Ottawa. Because Native people, many of our names only mean the people or a name of a geographic place. And all that is saying is that we are living at a place on Mother Earth in a friendship way. Oh, can anyone talk us into all the relations?
A little bit earlier, when Onisi was speaking, he mentioned the turtle island. This also is what Iroquois people believe in. Our legend tells us we come from another earth, first upon the turtle of the woman. She was set upon a large sea turtle, and this was the beginning of what we call Onkawakea. Onkawakea means the turtle island, which was North America. And this is why, in some cases, we believe that this land was given to us by the Creator. Years ago, our legend told us we had no right to cross the salt water, because across the salt water was one of our brothers And we were also told that our brother would return in harness. And now this legend goes back many, many thousand years. Also, in our legend, we were told that our brother would come in harness from across the sea, which he did. So these are the things that in our legend that we had been told to us for many years, and we expected. We didn't know when it would come, but when it did come, we knew what was going to happen. So I wish to thank you again to invite us here tonight, to Senior One, for bringing us here. I think it is important for us, and hopefully it is important for the young people in the school growing up today to learn a little bit about the history of...
As we listen now in this Wolf Mountain program to Native music, we hear the sacred drum, the voices of our singers, and the footsteps of our dancers. It is the drum, it is our heartbeat, and we who sing and dance in a traditional way express our gratitude to the creation and to Kinawantakwas and to all our relations. We honor our singers and dancers who have kept the songs, and we honor our drummers who know the spirit of the drum. To our drummers, singers, and dancers, keep us strong as we hear the songs from Mother Earth and our Indian nations. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Press, Kinawantakwasin.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The song you just heard was a woman's fancy shawl dance, which honors Native women. That drum was the Eastern Eagle Singers. They are a Mi'kmaq from what's now called Eastern Canada and Maine. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices know, the Mi'kmaqs are members of the Wabanaki Confederacy, which is my native people. Our confederacy consists of four tribal nations, the Mi'kmaq, Penobscot, Passamaquoddy, and Maliseet. We are the people of the Dawn Land. The flute song early in the program was entitled Buffalo Prayer Song by Native American flutist Robert Tree Cody and Hovaya Edwards. I hope you enjoyed the comments of Ankwitasi and myself. What I find interesting about listening to our remarks from many years ago is how they are still important and relevant even now, 18 years later. Many of the Native issues we were concerned with then still continue. Protecting Mother Earth, Indigenous rights, social justice, and racism towards Native peoples as examples continue. There are many injustices in Indian country. For example, the case of Native American prisoner Leonard Peltier, the situation on Black Mesa with traditional Dene Navajo and Hopi trying to defend sacred lands from energy development, threats to Native Alaskans and Native Hawaiians, as well as many other numerous cultural and environmental issues impacting Indigenous peoples throughout the world that we try to inform and educate about on Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. As always, I urge all of our worldwide listeners to become actively involved in supporting Indigenous peoples' struggles for sovereignty and self-determination. You can do so by becoming educated on issues and by assisting the traditional communities in ways they request. Here are two excellent websites I highly recommend. The first is the International Indian Treaty Council, IITC. The International Indian Treaty Council website is www.treatycouncil.org. Once again, the International Indian Treaty Council website, www.treatycouncil.org. The second is the Indigenous Environmental Network's website. IEN's website is www.ienearth.org. Again, Indigenous Environmental Network's website, www.ienearth.org. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. We shall conclude today's broadcast with the song Indian Nations by Grant Severite. It is off Tuttle Island Music CD of Contemporary Native American Music. Until the next Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. Aho, Kinon Wontakwasin, to all of our relations.
I can feel the fire of a never-ending flame and the soft healing touch of a summer rain. Indian Nation, a proud legacy, a reminder of that gold. Indian Nation, keeper of a great mystery, teller of stories never told. A drumbeat plays a rhythm to the heartbeat of the land. They all dance together in a circle around the hill. People of the earth stand strong against the sun, bound by the spirit, singing harmony as one. Indian Nation, a proud legacy, a reminder of all that we owe. Indian Nation, keeper of a great mystery, teller of stories never told. Inside your hearts, dear to you, see. Call on the evil, calls out to you and me. As we journey homeward to our chosen destiny. Indian Nation, a proud legacy, a reminder of that gold. Indian Nation, keeper of a great mystery.